I've been looking forward to the missions conference, and I certainly am glad. I've been wanting to preach at this church a long time, so now I finally got the opportunity tonight. But I'm glad to be here, and I don't want to use up a lot of time because of restrictions on time, because I know school just started recently, and you want to get home and get these children in bed and all of that. But we want to take time to see what God has to say to us tonight. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And I want to speak on this subject, the motive for missions. The motive for missions. Acts chapter 4 and one verse that we'll look at. But boy, is it a dynamite verse, a powerful verse. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know he's talking about Jesus, right? And that's a powerful verse. Neither is there salvation in any other, no other name, no nothing else. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be born again. Now, there are a lot of good things that happen because of Christianity and the influence of Christianity around the world. And I'm glad for those things. We have better education in some countries because of Christianity's influence. We've had hospitals that have been started around the world because of Christianity's influence. We've had better housing because of that. Less starvation. A number of great and good things. But that is not the purpose of missions. Those things are incidental. They go along with it, but that is not the purpose of missions. The main thing is getting people saved. Getting them saved. They're lost. They're on their way to hell. They need to be saved. And that's the main thing. Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven tonight? Are you glad about it? Are you happy about it? Well, praise the Lord. We need to get that to other people so they too can rejoice. But that's the difference, is whether they're saved or whether they're not. And there is a great, great global need. We're talking about making disciples globally. There is a great global need. And may I say, it starts on your street. And it starts in our city. And it spreads out in our state. But we do not want to forget the rest of the world. It impacts the rest of the world. Families in the world. Different races in the world, different people groups in the world. And we have the great need of the globe, and that is people need to be changed and they need to be born again. I mean, it's the greatest need there is, that they get saved. Now, we could give them a lot of things. We could give them wealth and materialism. Everybody likes a little wealth and some materialism. And we could maybe carry over to them, in some cases, the affluence of the American way. If you hadn't traveled much in other parts of the country, you realize probably the poorest people in America are rich compared to the people in the rest of the world. But we could give them some of that material philosophy, houses, boats, RVs, motorhomes, country club memberships, all of that kind of thing. We could try to eradicate poverty. A lot of people do that, sort of a social gospel. And I love the fact that some people come out of poverty. And we could offer that and try to help them, and we do. And that would be some kind of international socialism. But that's not what we're trying to accomplish. We could also educate them. A lot of people think that the savior of the world is education. Well, I'm for education. I have a little bit of it myself. I wish I'd have gotten more, perhaps, although I've seen some dumb PhDs. But at any rate, But at any rate, education is important. And we could educate them so they could write, maybe write things that are greater than Shakespeare's writings. And that would be great if they could do that. Or they could study science and come up with some cures for some of the diseases that are in the world. And that would be a good thing if they could do that. Some of them we might get educated. They can become doctors. Doctors are involved with the anatomy of the human body and the metabolism of the human body, the chemical makeup of the human body, and all things physical. What is the motive? What would be the motive of a doctor? The motive of a doctor would be humanitarian help to heal. And we would want to go to them and say, hey, doctor, heal my wife or heal my daughter or heal my son. We'll pray, but you do your work and we want you to do that. And surely they would want to do whatever they could to get the job done. We might train them to be lawyers. That's a different story, but at any rate, we have some lawyers in this church and they're Christian lawyers. But they might live in the world of retainer fees, which they do, and books and precedents that have already been set, and the practice of the courts and the rules of the courts and entering into that. And their motives would probably be, number one, to help the innocent, to be able to help people who are not guilty, that are innocent. And that's a good thing. Or in legal issues, to help them with all of their legal issues. Heavens to Betsy, now we have so many legal papers and legal things, you almost have to retain a lawyer all the time just to get the paperwork done. But we could train them to do all of this. Maybe a businessman. And that businessman would do his best to provide jobs and open up jobs for people. And they could make a living because of that and give them that opportunity. And all people need help with that. And that might be their motivation behind it, to do that. And all of these things would be to help people. And it's a good thing to help people. But I must remind you, that is not the greatest need of people. Those things are not the greatest need of people. Health and education and materialism and all of that, that is not the greatest need of people. The greatest need of people is to be born again. To be saved, to be born again. Now what about the Christian missionary? Well, I think they have great motives or they wouldn't be going. And I like the fact that they have great motives to do that. What is that? The human soul, just as he said, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. And so the motive primarily, I believe, of the missionary in going is to get people saved. So to get them born again, not to make them like Americans or anything else, but to get them saved. And I believe this, God will bless any fellowship or denomination or any church or any individual or any missionary endeavor if their goal, their primary goal, is to get them saved. Now, I know we need to disciple them, but you've got to get them saved before you can disciple them. You can't train a child till he's born and conceived and brought into this world, and so that they might be saved. And God will bless any church that does that if this is their goal and this is their motive, to bring people under the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's why we have preaching. That's why you ought to be praying that people would be saved. That's why we have teaching that people would come to Christ. That's why we have witnessing so that people would come to Jesus Christ, and they are out there, and they will be saved. Last Saturday, Brother Nathan Howard and me, we went to some different visits, and we wound up at one house, and there were two men there, father and son. To make a long story short, we were able to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I turned it over to our Spanish minister, so he can go follow it up, because their background is primarily Spanish. But I'm telling you, that we exist to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Other blessings are great, but don't forget the main thing. Never forget the main thing. Years ago, I read where in the North American Baptist Convention, they decided to do a survey of all of their churches. And they selected a pastor to do that survey, to head it up. He was the pastor of a very large church. And after they did the survey, he brought back this report and shared this report. And I want to tell you what he said, and you'll see what I'm saying by keeping the main thing the main thing. He said, there's one thing that I've found that is inevitably and everlastingly true. One thing, and it is this, that any man who preaches a social gospel fails. And he saw that in the churches, and so many churches are doing that today. And then he illustrated it. He said, in our survey, we found one of our great churches housed in one of the most beautiful and adequate and spacious buildings on the North American continent. Beautiful edifice. The pastor of that church is world famous, he said. He preaches on the radio and he lectures extensively over the nation. Even the assistant pastor of that church, he said, is nationally famous. And then he said they have a budget of hundreds of thousands of dollars and an extensive staff, a huge staff. But when we studied the church and considered its plant and considered its pastors and considered its work, we are amazed and astonished to learn that in the previous year, listen to this, they had 3 conversions. 3 conversions. They were missing the mark. They'd gotten off track somewhere. We have a tremendous commitment as Christians to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor of this church has that commitment. The deacons in this church have that commitment. The Sunday school teachers in this church have that commitment. Anybody who works in any ministry in this church has a commitment to do their best to help bring people to Jesus Christ. All Christians should be doing that. All Christians. Not just the workers in the church. And if you're not working in a local church, you ought to get busy working in the local church. And I can recommend a good one to you. Our job is not politics. That's not the main job. We get all bent out of shape about what's going on, and sometimes I think rightfully so. But that is not, we're not to get all bogged down in the issues of the hour. I remember working a long time with Baptist Fundamentalism 84 in the Moral Majority. And I was a state leader in that, and that was good. And we had, we actually were able to influence the voting so much that Ronald Reagan got elected. I would to God we had him back. But that is not the main issue. The main issue is souls, always souls, always souls. Win the lost, win the lost. And I'm telling you, that's the foundation of missions. If that's not the foundations of missions, we have no reason for missions. What happens to our churches? What happens to our movements? Liberalism comes in. Most movements, universities or whatever, that start out real conservative, last about 50 years and they become liberal. You check it out in church history. It's a rare thing that that doesn't change. But liberalism comes in. What do? They quit preaching that people are lost and going to go to hell and that they will face the judgment of God. That is not popular preaching in a lot of places. They quit preaching that the blood atonement alone, and it is the blood of Christ that will save you and cleanse you and wash all of your sins away and, thank God, make them whiter than snow. But they quit preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. I had a man, a CPA, that I led to the Lord, and then he came to our church. He said, you know, in my church where I was going, I was playing a song that had the blood in it, and the pastor came up to me and said, quit playing that song. We're not going to play that bloody religion stuff. Get rid of it, and you play Bach and Beethoven and all that other, but don't be playing or singing any songs about the blood. Thank God we still sing about the blood. We still believe in the blood. It is the blood that saves sinners. And we preach exactly what this Bible says, that there is no other name under heaven whereby you can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. And we get really hammered for that by the politically correct people. But I don't care about that. They've gone to political correction. They've gone to philosophical some kind of philosophical reasoning, and all of that has come into that. But I want to tell you, they want to blend in some kind of eclectic system all of these things. They want to get the best of Buddhism, the best of Hinduism, the best things in the Islamic faith, and the best thing in the Christian faith, and bring them together and blend them together. Everybody's okay, and they want to say that everybody has a divine spark in them, and if we just all get together and get along and fan that spark, everybody's going to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Besides, they don't have a spark like that in them. They're depraved as can be. That's why they need to be quickened by the Holy Spirit and saved, and that comes through the preaching of the Word of God. And I want to tell you, when churches get liberal like that and they quit preaching the blood or missionaries or movements, I want to tell you that they've missed the mark and they're going to die. It has killed many a movement, and many churches have died. You know why? It's the main nerve. And my friend, when you cut the main nerve, you've messed the whole thing up. And so John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I hope that's you tonight. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. People out there without Christ, and they're going to die and go to hell. The wrath of God is abiding on them. That's why they need to be saved. That's exactly the position they're in. Now, if we are right in our message, and we're right in our motive, our message and our motive, then we have a global connection with Christians all over the world. Do you know that? A global connection with people all over the world. What do you mean? Well, we're connected globally in prayer. I believe we ought to be praying. And I believe that more Christians ought to be praying about missions, missionaries, people called to be a missionary, all of that. But all over the globe, there are people in other languages, different colors, different ethnic groups and tribes, and they are praying and interceding in the name of Jesus that people would be saved. So we're connected that way in witnessing, in praying. Are you praying that people would be saved? Are you praying that we could give more to missions? Are you praying for people that you have on your list that are lost? Do you have a most wanted list of people that you want to see get saved? We need to be praying people, and people all over the world are praying for others that they would be saved. And we connect globally in witnessing. And you and I should be witnesses for the Lord here just like they are over in other parts of the world. Pastor once had a wealthy man who came to him, and he was an attorney, and he said, God has blessed me richly, and I have a lot of money, and I really want to repay something, do something special for the Lord. And this pastor said, well, here's something I would advise you to do. Maybe you can do this. Pick out a missionary in the Orient. That was the burden of that pastor's heart. Pick out a missionary in the Orient and support him. Do it through the church, of course, but support him. And so he chose a missionary to Korea. And then what he did after that, he got a large picture of this missionary, had it blown up, put it over the head of his bed. And at night, when he would get ready to go to bed, every night, the lawyer would kneel to pray, and he would say something like this, now, Lord, bless my missionary friend as he rises to go serve you and to win souls today and to witness for you. And he was praying as he was going to bed that they would be blessed to go out and witness for the Lord. And then he said, and Lord, bless me while I go to sleep. But then every morning when he would get up and kneel, he would say, now, Lord, I'm going to witness for you today. I'm going to serve you today. And I want the strength and energy and wisdom to do it. But bless my missionary friend over there who's going to bed. Give him a good night's rest. But the whole point is, whether you're there, whether you're here, we should be witnessing for the Lord. We should have a strong witness for God because people need to be saved. And we're connected globally also in our giving. In our giving. And I instituted Faith Promise Giving here some time back. I'm glad that we did. I just don't think you can... you can beat it. And I had a good missionary leader who said to me, "Why aren't you doing Faith Promise?" And I said, "Well, we've done it in other places. I did it in my other two churches. But the missions giving here was real, real good. And it was a percentage of the total budget that came in. And it was good. But we instituted Faith Promise missions here at Worth Baptist Church. And I want to tell you, God blesses it. We have a global unity in witnessing and also in our giving. We're connected in our giving. I remember when I first went into to giving by faith, my wife and we prayed about it. And the very next day or so, somebody came by our house. That was my first church. I hardly had any income. It was a sacrifice. It wasn't a lot of money, but to us, it was a definite sacrifice that took faith for us to give it. And so we did give it. But right at the first of the week, somebody came and knocked on our door and said, "I'm going to bring you eggs. I have some eggs for you, and I'm going to bring you eggs. From now on, a long time, I'll be bringing you eggs." You say, "Well, what's the big deal about that?" Well, God just verified for us the commitment we had made and what God was going to do. And I don't believe that was an accident. I didn't even know the man. We didn't even know the man. And he knocks on our door. And then when we came here, right after we started Faith Promise, we instituted it here, and we made our commitment, and I believe it was that night or maybe the next week, that somebody came by my office, and guess what they left? A dozen eggs. I said, "Lord, you're verifying it again." And I can tell you, I don't have time, I can tell you a lot of stories of how God will bless you if you will step out by faith and give Faith Promise missions. And we'll say a whole lot more about that, but it's not what you can afford, it's not what you can figure out, it's not what you can see, it's what you give by faith. And we have that fellowship of giving. So thank God Worth has always done that. Dr. Sisk is the man who said to me, "You need to get Faith Promise in there, Brother Weaver." And I said, "All right, Dr. Sisk, I got it." Now, the greatest motive for missions is what? Here it is, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other." How many of you believe that tonight? Say amen. Amen. "There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If people don't get, are the heathen lost? Yes. A lot of people say, "Well, if they're ignorant, God will be good to them. They won't die. They won't go to hell." If ignorance is a savior, let's get rid of God, get rid of the Bibles, and go into absolute atheism, and then God will forgive the whole world because we're all atheists and we're all ignorant of God and we're just going to heaven. No, I'm telling you, that doesn't matter where they are on the face of this earth. Romans 1, Romans 2 tells us that they are responsible to God for the light they have to walk in that light, and they are responsible. That's why if we don't get to them with the light, if we don't get to them and give them the gospel, the way to get saved, the way to go to heaven, then friend, listen to me. Listen to me. You don't know them. You don't see their faces. But they're souls, and they will die and go to hell. They will die without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what are you going to take away from this conference this week? What will you take away from the conference this week? I hope, number one, you'll take away a new vision. May God stir our hearts and give us a new vision. You see, vision has a tendency to die. It has a tendency to dissipate and drop off. And I'm praying and have been praying, "Oh God, give us a new vision in this church." The church at Ephesus, what problem did they have? They started out good, but then they lost their first love. And people without vision are Laodicean, and God says, "People like that make me sick. Churches like that make me sick." We need a new vision. And may you even tonight come and say, "God, break my heart for a new vision." We need to make a new commitment, a recommitment to praying and more prayer. I know many of you pray, but to pray more, more sincerely, more enthusiastically to God. The only way the task is going to be done, and as the pastor said, we have a big task. He said to the missionaries over there in orientation, You know, it can be done. We've got a big task. Friend, it can only be done if we get a hold of God. And that comes through prayer, and nothing of eternal value ever comes apart from prayer. And then I hope and pray to God that we'll see some people surrender their lives to go to the mission field. You say, well, I'm 50, I'm too old. No, you're not. Well, I'm retired, I can't go. Yes, you can. There are things to do, there are places to go, and I'm praying that God will call some of the couples out of this church at different ages to go. And I'm hoping that many of you will take the wonderful opportunity and advantage to go on these short-term missions trips. I'll tell you one thing. The thing that'll do more for you for missions is if you go to a mission field. And I heard about it. I saw the slides. Slides is what you used to show. I see the DVDs, all of those different things. Over the years, I've seen all of that. And I've seen pictures, and I've seen red letters, and I've had stacks of them on my desk. But my friend, the first time that my heart was deeply, deeply, deeply broken and I understood it better than I'd ever understood it was when I went to the mission field. And I encourage you to surrender to that, to come tonight and say, God, I'll go if you'll make a way and show me where to go. And I believe God will do it. Or surrender to full-time missions work. Hey. If the church doesn't produce them, where are we going to get our missionaries from? Wall Street? The Congress? I think not. We're going to get our missionaries out of our local churches, just like Worth Baptist Church. And then I hope and pray that God will challenge us, some of you, to start. You've never started Faith Promise Giving. To start this year. And those of us who are already doing it, hang on now, that we might increase our giving by faith. Not what we can see, but by faith. And then make a new commitment to tell others there's only one way to heaven. You've got to be born again through Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and I hope that as God is speaking to your heart, some of you will come tonight. Get down here on your knees at this altar and say, God, stir my heart afresh. Stir up my vision. Give me new vision. You don't have to wait till we start singing. You can come right now. And a vision, it has a tendency to drop off and to get on the lower shelf. May you come and ask God to help you and stir your heart tonight. Make some new commitments to prayer and surrender. Some of you need to just let go and trust God and give your life to Him to serve. Some of you businessmen could go to these countries that you're the only one that can get in there. But you can get in there and serve for the glory of God. What an exciting time it is. Surrender to God's call, short-term missions, long-term missions. And increase your faith giving and start praying now. God, what do you want me to do? May God help us. Father, we thank you for the word. Thankful that we know our mission is to get the gospel to people. The only way they can be saved, escape hell, is if we love them and care and give and pray and work and serve any way we can to get the gospel to them. Bless these dear missionaries as they're willing to go. Please, God, add to their lot. Add to those workers. The fields are so white under harvest. We just need some more workers. And I pray you'd burden and break some hearts of some people here tonight. Maybe the thing that they never dreamed they would do, but if you'd get a hold of them, they'll surrender and they'll go. If there's somebody here tonight that is without Christ, and they're not sure they're going to heaven, I pray they would step out and know that this verse is for them, that they have to be born again and they have to trust Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.